In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Anthony Koniaris tells an interesting story in one of his sermons about a man who came up to the edge of a cliff. And he looked over the cliff and wasn't careful. And so he fell over, heading down towards a deep ravine. But as he was going over, he happened to catch a tree branch that was sticking out from the cliff. And he began to pray, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." And the Lord answered, "Yes." He said, "Lord, save me. If you save me, it would be so wonderful. I beg you, please save me from this." And the Lord said, "Well, how much have you been going to church recently?" And he said, "Well, it hasn't been as much as I thought I should, but I promise you, if you will save me, I will be in church constantly, just all the time." And the Lord said, "Well, how much of your money have you been given towards my work?" And the man said, "Not a lot, not a lot, but I promise you, if you will save me, I will give everything that I've got to the church." And then the Lord said to him, "Well, do you trust me?" And the man said, "Lord, I haven't trusted you as much as I should, but I promise you that from this moment on, I will trust you." And then the Lord said, "Let go of the branch." And that's the end of the story. We don't know anything from that point on because Father Anthony wasn't good enough to relate it to us. But it's interesting because this particular story actually ties in directly to the gospel that we heard today. We often hear of the rich young man who appears in all the three synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I think in Luke he's presented as a nobleman. But at any rate, he was obviously well off. He had a lot of money, and this gospel is often seen as, well, one, rich people don't go to heaven because too many things get in their way, and it's just impossible for them to continue, and that, two, that the man didn't really know who Christ was. Well, there's more to it than that, because this is a gospel that is exactly about trust. This man came to the Lord, who had obviously tried to live as righteous a life as he knew how at that point, but yet he realized that something was missing. And so he asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord catches him right there, because the man is thinking of him simply as a man, not as God. And so as a man, the Lord answers him and says, "Why do you call me good? If I'm just a teacher, why do you call me good? There's no one good but God." He says, "But if you will be perfect, then keep these commandments." You know what they are. And he lists out actually six of the Ten Commandments. And the young man says, "Well, I've done all of these things since my youth, every single one of them." Now, whether he was doing this from pride, because he had tried to actually keep these commandments as best he knew how, or whether he was testing the Lord, some of the fathers disagree on. But at any rate, the Lord understands where the man is coming from. And he says, "Look, that's great. I'm not going to argue with you about this, whether you have really kept all of these commandments as best you could or not. One thing you lack. One thing. That's it. Go, sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me." But you see, this man didn't have that sort of trust, because that wasn't the answer he was expecting. He was expecting perhaps, "Well, good and faithful servant, you've kept the commandments. Be gone with you. You're doing just fine. There's no problem here. But the Lord, who looks into our hearts, looked into his heart and saw exactly what it was that was keeping him from the kingdom of God. And the Lord continues on with the famous statement about how difficult it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. And I tell you that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And we, of course, in modern day, at least I know from the first time I ever read this passage, you know, had the image of this double humpback animal trying to crawl through the open head of a pen. And while that is an interesting image, that's probably not what it means. The camel it's referring to most likely is referring to a type of rope on a ship that was common back then. The eye of the needle could refer to an actual eye of a needle, but it might also refer to a certain gate in Jerusalem that was very low and hard for animals to get through. So at any rate, whatever one of these images we want to use, the Lord is telling us that it's very difficult for someone whose heart is in another place to get into the kingdom of heaven. For this man, it was his riches. Everything that his parents had slaved for, perhaps, everything that he had worked for that was pulling him away from the kingdom of God, and he was choosing the easy route, which was to try and simply follow as many of these commandments as he could and keep them as best as he could and understand that by doing that, he had attained some kind of righteousness. But there was no righteousness in that, because we know that there is no ultimate righteousness in the law, because the law leads to Christ, and Christ is the fulfillment of that righteousness. And he is saying, look, there's something here that is keeping you from trusting me, because salvation is not going to come to you in any other way except through me. Get that through your head right now. It's only through me. I am the entrance to the kingdom of heaven. That's what the Lord is saying. But yet you've got something that you can't give up, that you think is more important, that you trust more than you trust me. Just like the man on the cliff, hanging on to the branch coming out of the side. Who did he trust more at that point? The branch that he was hanging on to, or the Lord who said, let go of the branch? How many times does that happen with us, day in, day out, when we're presented with perhaps a similar circumstance? What do we trust more? Do we trust our own branches, whether they be our own sense of self-will, our own sense of self-esteem, our own idea that somehow we know better than God, and therefore if we do it this way, we know that it's going to work out. But if we choose to go the other way and just throw it all away and hope that the Lord will help us somehow, that doesn't seem reasonable, because we lack that trust. We're afraid of what might happen. We're afraid to put all of our trust in someone that we really aren't sure about. We're really not sure. We hear all of the gospel passages about how God loves man. We hear all the gospel passages about how we're to come unto him and to lay everything at his feet, and how he will never do anything that will go against what is best for our salvation. And yet at the same time, we are fearful because we're afraid of what it might demand of us. That's what it all comes down to. It's always that. I've heard this so many times over the years. We are afraid to trust God because we're afraid of what he might do. My goodness, he might do something that we don't like. He might demand something of us that we don't want to do. And so we don't want to trust him. How can we trust someone like that who is actually going to demand something of us, or who would dare to impinge on our own wills? How do we trust someone like that? But that's the whole point. The whole point is that our wills, as we've seen from that first scene in the garden, our wills lead us that way, constantly and continuously. Our wills always lead us away from God. That's why our whole life in Christ, our whole goal is to interrupt that will, to short-circuit that will, so that the Lord can step in and show us the true way. That's what we need to do. Is it a step in faith? Yes, it is. Is it irrational? Well, some might say that it is. But for those who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have experienced even to the smallest degree the grace of Christ, no, it's not so irrational. Not at all. It's something that is eminently reasonable if you choose to begin to believe even from the beginning that God became incarnate. If God became incarnate and walked among us and rose from the dead and has promised that he's going to do the same thing for all of us, what is so unreasonable about trusting him? Nothing at all. Nothing at all. So our whole lives become a series of tests, a series of stepping off cliffs, a series of grabbing hold of branches and learning how to let go of them, because they will be presented time and time again until we get it right. That's what the Lord is looking for. That's what he's demanding of us. He's saying, if you want to ascend, then you've got to let go and fall in order that I can catch you and bring you up. It's a simple concept, yet one that we shy away from so much. Don't let these things that we are so enticed by every day get in the way of your relationship with Christ. St. John Chrysostom assures us that the Lord is not teaching here that a rich man can't get into the kingdom of heaven. The gospel is full of rich people who are saints, who did get into the kingdom of heaven. So that's not true. What he is teaching is that there are things that each one of us has in our own hearts that is blocking the divine energies of God acting in our lives. And that's what we have to work towards, to letting go of these things, to letting God come into our hearts, into our beings, into our lives, and show us what we should do. How often do we wonder that? We have problems. Lord, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? And the Lord gives us the answer, and we say, well, thank you so much, but I actually had already figured it out. I'm going to do this over here instead. That's where we go wrong. That's where we have to turn. And it's got to be something that we begin doing now. Absolutely now. Because we're going to hit those cliffs. We're going to stumble and fall. I did that last week. Very suddenly, very unexpectedly, bam. Down I went. Guy in a car was looking at me the whole time. I got up and he turned away quickly as if he didn't notice me, because he didn't want to be embarrassed for me. But we do take those falls. We do stumble. We stumble physically, we stumble spiritually, and we do it often. But we've got to trust God that he's going to catch us. And we've got to trust God that whatever he gives to us to do, whatever he demands of us, it's going to be for our good and for our salvation. That's the important thing, because that's the goal. And that salvation starts right here and now. So when you all leave this place today, I want you to let go of those branches. I want you to let go, and I want you to trust God for all the things that he's trying to teach you and to the places that he's trying to lead you and will bring you, if only you give your assent to his call. Amen.